With the 2019 federal election approaching, action on climate change depends on, but is not guaranteed by, change of government. A re-elected Morrison coalition government would continue Australia's disgraceful inactivity in combating climate change. The election of a Labor government and a climate action pact between Labor and the Greens provides some hope, but no reassurance that this might happen. This is the opinion of Peter Sainsbury, a past president of the Public Health Association of Australia and also the Climate and Health Alliance. To expand on this, I'm speaking to him now. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you very much, Des.
Perhaps you could start with a very brief overview of Australian government climate policy over the past two decades.
Well, it can be pretty brief, really. It's marked by sort of back and forth movement around a point without much progress at all. And I'd say this is true pretty much of coalition and Labor governments when they've been in power. Labor's perhaps been a bit stronger on the rhetoric, but hasn't delivered much for the main part. I suppose one could say that the Gillard carbon tax was a good effort, a good start. But other than that, it's mainly been, even Labor policy has mainly been marked by not much real progress. I think what has characterised governments of both parties is that they've talked a lot and they've tried to reduce their international commitments and sort of make it look as though they were doing something, but basically haven't done anything much at all. And I think we're now seeing the consequences of that, which is that Australian greenhouse gas emissions are still rising and are pretty much the same now as they were 20 years ago. They did fall away a little bit in the middle, but they're pretty much the same now as they were 20 years ago. And the federal government's projections are that they'll continue increasing till 2030. So there's not much room there for any great praise or complacency or optimism. It's a pretty dire situation.
So whatever politician you are and from whatever colour of politics you are, we've seen the degradation of the Great Barrier Reef, the Murray-Darling Basin and various things, like especially at the moment the resurfacing of drought climate. So what's going on inside the head of politicians that makes them ignore that?
That's a very good question, because the science is clear, the evidence is clear. You know, climate change is happening. It's being caused principally by the burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil and gas, contributed to as well by changes in the way we use land and what we produce on the land, particularly livestock and so on. But principally, it's about burning fossil fuels. And it would appear that, broadly speaking, the political parties in Australia have been pretty much going hand in hand with the fossil fuel industries, which in Australia are principally coal and gas. And those industries have had a major influence on politicians in this country. They've been significant funders of the two main parties, and they've got significant lobbying power in Canberra, and there's been a very clear sort of revolving door of politicians and senior bureaucrats going backwards and forwards between the fossil fuel industry companies and government. So we've seen people going from government to the fossil fuel industry, and we've seen people from the fossil fuel industry coming into government. And I think that's pretty much the reason that the fossil fuel industry, particularly coal, but not only, are very influential with government. And governments are, on the one hand, have been up to now, Labor's suggesting it might be going in a different direction if elected, but have been ideologically sympathetic to the fossil fuel industry. They've seen it as generating money and generating jobs, and they've been in hock to them in many ways because, as I say, because of contributions and staff going backwards and forwards. So I think it's mainly been that that has influenced governments in Australia to favour continuation of coal mining and gas exploration and mining, rather than focusing on the immediate and potentially catastrophic problem of climate change and global warming.
Now, it's talked about a lot about responsibility of politicians and so forth. Does something like that turnover of personnel between industry and government, does that need to be regulated, or is that totally a lost cause as far as you're concerned?
I don't think it's a lost cause at all. I think it certainly could quite easily be regulated. That in itself isn't, it wouldn't be enough. I think we need to look at the whole political process, but the whole issue of the transparency of who's getting in to see ministers, publishing of ministerial diaries so that we can see who they are spending the time with, who's influencing them, a more open and up-to-date publication of donations to political parties and donations to individual politicians. So I think there's lots that can go on that would actually reduce the influence of big, well-financed lobby groups such as the fossil fuel industry, but not only, there are others. You know, Big Pharma is another big example, and in the past, tobacco and so on. So they're not unique in this regard. I think what we need to look to is improving our democratic system, by which I don't simply mean the way we vote every 3 or 4 years, that's part of it, but the way we actually implement democracy in this country and separate the vested interests, which that's going to continue, I don't dispute that, and you could say my interests are vested. So there's nothing wrong with people having interests and trying to promote them. It's about whether some people can buy access and have greater access to the people who actually make political decisions than others. And I think we certainly could change that. We could have, as has been proposed for quite a long time now, a federal anti-corruption commission like the states have. I think there are lots of things we could do to make it much more transparent and open about how political decisions are made in Australia.
So do you think that the media has been having a negative role in this too?
The media is an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, we've got this sort of lovely, rosy-eyed vision of looking back to the media of this sort of this watchdog that keeps an eye on politicians and business and he's purely motivated by reporting the news and being, you know, sort of digging deep and exposing how it really is, this voice of the people. And maybe there have been times when that was the case with the media. But the reality is that there's not much of that sort of media left these days. Media is now business. In some ways, rather than seeing advertising on the media, whether it be newspapers, television, the web or whatever, as sort of generating some income so that you can actually be a source of news, I think in many ways one can see the media the other way around these days, that the news and entertainment is a way of bringing people in so that they are exposed to the real business of advertising and selling. And so I think one has to see the media in that regard, that no longer can most of the media be seen as this sort of voice of the people speaking to power. And as such, they, I think, have played a very negative role at times. I've made mention in the article, you mentioned of shock jocks. It's difficult to know how influential people like Alan Jones in Sydney are. They're loud, they get a lot of headlines. To what extent do they change people's votes, I don't know. But I think somebody like Murdoch is much more influential, the way he controls such a large part of many aspects of the media in Australia. And whether or not he tells his editors what to write, they know what to write. And I think there's no doubt that Murdoch and probably others have had a very bad influence on politicians from the point of view of promoting any action on climate change. He's clearly a climate skeptic. He clearly doesn't want to change the status quo. And so, yes, I think particularly the Murdoch press have been particularly harmful for real action on climate change.
Now, you point out that you think that pretty much nothing will change under a re-elected coalition government, but you do see some potential if there was a Labor government elected, but you do have a degree of scepticism about that.
Yes, I think the main reason I wrote the article actually was to say, I suppose many of us thought that Turnbull understood climate change. In fact, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he still does. But he'd done some sort of deal with the devil to move in and take over from Abbott. And that following the election he called, he was on a one-seat majority. And so he was in a very weak position to push anything on climate change. And so I think you could advance the argument that come the next election, was Turnbull still the Prime Minister, and was Turnbull to win the election with a decent majority, he might have pushed for stronger action on climate change in accordance with, I think, what I think are his true beliefs and wishes. But my point was that we've now got Morrison, and I don't think one can hold out any hope along those lines whatsoever. A Morrison government with a decent majority would pursue the policies that he has made perfectly clear in the first few weeks his occupancy of the Prime Minister's position. He's made it clear that he's not interested in this report that came out this week from the IPCC on keeping climate change, the average temperature increase to 1.5 degrees. He's dismissed that out of hand. He's appointed a minister who, in charge of energy, whose main job is to keep prices down, so to speak, a real sort of alleged vote winner rather than control emissions. Whether or not it is a vote winner is another issue, of course. There's quite a strong view from opinion polls and so on that the public actually recognise the problem of climate change and want action on climate change at least as much as they want to keep their power bills down. So my point was that I don't think a Morrison government, you can hold any hope of any change. If anything, it's going to get worse under a Morrison government. He's acting on what he believes at the moment. I was then saying that the only hope of any change on climate change is a Labour government. Their policies at present do indicate that they want to really start to bring down emissions in a real way. They really want to promote renewable energy. They want to play a part in the world, a proper part, where they work particularly in the region to try and help our Pacific Island neighbours, Southeast Asia and so on, areas where we've got very bad reputation as far as climate change is concerned. So Labour does seem to want to turn things around. And so the only hope is for them to be elected with a decent majority in the lower house. But they also need to be able to get things through the Senate. They're probably not going to get it worse. Certainly not going to get a majority in the Senate. So then they need to come to some sort of agreement with the Greens so that they've pretty much got control of the Senate. They may need one or two other independents. But unless that happens, what I'm saying is that not only is there not a Morrison government, but there's a Labour government that also has control of the Senate. Unless that happens, we can forget any useful action on climate change in Australia for at least the next 3 or 4 years.